Blog Talk Radio. Welcome everybody to another edition of Blog Talk Radio. My name is Bruce Negrin. I'm a man in his basement, and you're listening to my musings. The show is called On the Outside Looking In. And again, it is with me, Bruce Negrin. I'm doing this every weekday. We moved our showtime from Thursdays to Tuesdays. You know what happened? I moved to Washington, D.C., and things got busy. Things got hectic just around Flag Day, I tell you. No, but it got hectic, so we're going to do this from Tuesdays from 8 to 9. If you have been listening to the show ever before, you know what the program's all about. It's two-way talk radio, so I want to hear what you have to say. We're going to talk about the topics that emanate from everywhere. Going to talk about a little bit about Elizabeth Warren. Who is she? A little about D.C. politics, Muriel Bowser. Going to talk about Potomac, North Potomac, Maryland. We're also going to talk about New Rochelle, New York. How about that? For all you people who remember New Rochelle, the Queen City of the Sound. My phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. If you want to give us a call, please do. The phone lines are always open, and we'll talk to you and get you on the air right away. See what you have to say, because sometimes it might be boring to what I have to say, but really, it's not. It's not boring. You were tuned in because you want to hear what I have to say. So what's been going on down here? It's been a very, very, very slow start to the new year. Had the kids for about 14 days. You know, that was interesting because they had their spring break or a winter break. I got to get my times right. This is what happens. I work from home now, so I'm in the house about 22 hours a day. And what happens here, my brain turns to mush a little bit because I don't know what to do anymore. I mean, it's like going out to McDonald's is the highlight of my day. I'm sitting there with Joe and Evan and Ira. We're drinking coffee at 7 o'clock in the morning. Hey, guys, how you doing? I'm good. How about this Obama guy? Oh, would you believe the Nationals? It's like I can't even talk sports down here because I don't watch any sports down here. Right now on the television, I have the Rangers and Islanders going on. You think I would miss that for this show? I can do both. It's called multitasking. That's what it's called, and that's why we like it. But anyway, it's been a very slow start to the year. We've had cold weather. We've had snow. The kids are off for 14 days. What happens? They go to school on Monday the 5th. Bam. The 6th, they're off. We've got some ice and some snow. It was interesting because it's the first time in my life I've been down here for a year and 9 months or so. First time in my Washington, D.C. life, my Maryland life, that they under-predicted snow totals. It started coming down, and you're looking at it, and you're like, this might be a little bit more than they expected. So they have the two-hour delay. They love the two-hour delay down here because they can delay school without canceling it. And that means it's a day of school. It's like when you were in high school. As long as you brought that note, you would count it as a day. I wasn't late. I was just late. I wasn't absent. You count it as a day. But anyway, so the kids are off, and then they go back, and it's cold weather, and I didn't take down the Christmas lights yet. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Inside the house, work is calling me. I got called out for other things. I had to go to a funeral, this kind of stuff. You know, it was just like such a slow start. So I'm thinking myself, there was something I read in the newspaper about. Someone was saying that February, very slow month, so we should move Christmas. You start reading the article, you're like, move Christmas, how dare you? Blasphemy. Can you imagine if Christians were like this? The Crusades would come back, right? Take down this newspaper and do unspeakable things to everybody there. But it's not like that. But anyway, I'm reading along, and the guy's like, it's boring. You know, we got all of this stuff packed in from Thanksgiving. We'll make Thanksgiving more important. We move Christmas and then the New Year. Personally, I think we should move the New Year. Because I was reading another article. This is what I do now. I told you, I'm sitting with Ira and Ethan over at the McDonald's, and we're talking about all the stuff over coffee. It's just the only time I get out of the house. But what I was thinking about is moving New Year's. There was an article talking about New Year's resolutions, how nobody keeps them, everybody breaks them, and the people who say they're going to lose weight, this is specifically to the people who say they're going to lose weight. You know, they say they never did the resolution is never kept. And it's true. Boy, I'm having one of those moments. You know, not that I started a little bit before the New Year's, you know, keep it going. Just, you know, exercise enough, play enough hockey down here for sure. But, just to stay in hockey shape, so to speak. But you start eating during the holidays. And then New Year's comes. It's like, oh, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to be ready to go. Then you wake up on January 1st, and it's 22 degrees. January, you're like, oh, it's January 1st. The New Year doesn't start till tomorrow, the 2nd. So you get out on the 2nd, and it's 18 degrees. Damn, Skippy, I ain't going running in 18 degrees. My wife, she's crazy enough to do it, but I'm not doing that. So all these people who spend the first week of their resolution freezing, trying to get to the gym or do something like that, you know, they give it up right away. And then they start eating. It's, oh, I'm up early enough. I got up at 5 to do it. You know, God bless you. And then they get back to their apartment at 5:30 because they've hit the snooze alarm 17 times. And it comes 6 o'clock, 6:30. Like, I got all this time. What should I do? I'm going to go to McDonald's. I'm going to go to McDonald's and eat. Get myself, hey, anytime you got 2-for-3 sausage McMuffins with egg, that's where you'll find me. I'll tell you that. The other thing about McDonald's. Oh, so I'll go off on the side dish for a second. Let's talk about McDonald's for a second. What they should do, and if someone is from McDonald's is listening to me, I'm telling you, take this idea. You're hurting right now. You're hurting pretty badly because there are 19,000 places to get a hamburger in the United States, let alone in Montgomery County, let alone in New Rochelle, let alone anywhere on the East Coast. All right? All right. So you could get a hamburger anywhere. So McDonald's has trouble with that. Burger King is going back to have it your way, the whole nine. Go to the burger joint, BGR, Five Guys, Elevation. Down here, I mean, geez. Like, oh, you get a variety of food down here. Hamburgers. I don't want a hamburger. That's why New York was so great. You go to a coffee shop or a diner, you get a hamburger. You know what I want a proliferation of? Pizza places. That's what I need down here. But anyway, McDonald's should have a Happy Meal for breakfast. My kids like the hotcakes and sausage. They always bother me to no end. Daddy, Daddy, I want a Spy Games Happy Meal toy. Oh, if I get you the Happy Meal toy, they don't have a Happy Meal at breakfast time. If I get you the toy, it's an extra $3, $3.79. $3.79 for some garbage. Oh, it burns me up. So, you know, you turn in your Father of the Year chip. You say, I'm not going to do it. I don't care if I'm Father of the Year anymore. I don't care. I am not buying you an extra toy. Just sit down and eat your hotcakes and sausage and be lucky you have it. What's up, Ira? But seriously, but getting back to the New Year, what they should do is move the New Year's. I know this is going to be a very complicated thing, but if you want to fight obesity in the United States, this is how you do it. We shouldn't follow the New Year, the January 1st calendar like the rest of the world does. You know, if Arizona doesn't have to follow daylight savings time, I think this is a viable idea. Neither does Indianapolis, right? Sometimes you call Arizona or New Mexico or Arizona, it's like they're 2 hours ahead or 3 hours ahead. It's like, what's going on over there? Get it straight. That must be confusing as heck to work at. But anyway, let's move the New Year. It's a stupid idea. I know it is. But let me tell you the reasoning behind it, because if you move the New Year to like March 1st, people would actually go out and keep their resolutions for losing weight and eating less and doing all that stuff. It wouldn't be 10 degrees outside. They would be going to the gym. They'd get revitalized. They'd be for health purposes, move the New Year. The United States would not be suffering obesity anymore. That's right. I got all the answers to all the problems. All the answers. If you think you have an answer, give me a call. Phone number is 773-897-6423. Once again, that's 773-897-6423. This is Outside Looking In with Bruce Negron. And set your clocks. Set your calendars. Every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m., we're going to get it done. My wife's upstairs making sure the kids are taking a bath, combing their hair. Squeak. They all look like Waldo when they get out of the bathtub. I love it. But I'm downstairs. It's like a night off. Oh, I couldn't be happier. So what's going on in politics? Lots going on in politics. I don't even know if I'm going to touch the France situation. It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's one of those things where you insult somebody and they come at you with a gun. I mean, I could understand being offended by the Prophet Muhammad being on a magazine and in a compromising position or something to that effect. I can understand it. I wouldn't like it if, you know, Jesus was like that or Moses was like that or anything of that sort. But it doesn't make me lift up a finger, go get a gun and start shooting people in the name of jihad. I mean, terrorism, it's you don't like to see it anywhere. You don't want to be anywhere. You know, the United States went through it. I was there for 9/11. We were down in the Pentagon got hit. We all know the story there. It's nothing to rekindle. But it happens in France, and all of a sudden it gets serious. You know, because the French, I don't have in-laws. My brother has in-laws who are living in France now. They try to make you assimilate. People don't want to assimilate. You know, learn the language. They'll actually pay for classes so you can learn French. It's crazy, isn't it? But anyway, something happens over there. And when I saw the march go on with the president of France and Merkel and Netanyahu, you know, when I saw the people over there marching arm in arm, that's what needed to be done. That was a big F you to everything that was going on. We will not be afraid. People came there. What did the U.S. do? You know, you could say it, and now the White House is saying that they dropped the ball, so I'm not just piling on. But the day after, the day you saw that, you're like, my goodness, they actually did that? World leaders were there marching down the streets of Paris, and the United States is not represented? You know, it's an interesting time. I no matter what you think about George Bush or not, the W. Bush, whatever you think about him or not, France is going through the same thing right now. They're scared to death. Literally, they're shaking over there to where they're talking about a French version of the Patriot Act. They're talking about more surveillance, being armed militarily more. You know, all this stuff that the United States got crushed for. Crushed for. You know, what happens, though, the thing is that can happen is that something gets taken away. Personal freedoms, et cetera, and people spying on you. What happens in times of fear? I mean, how do you protect against this? And then everyone's going to yell that you didn't do enough to protect us. It's a double-edged sword. That's a bad analogy. But it's a catch-22. Oh, you're taking away my freedoms, but you're not protecting me. Freedom. You know, and spying and all this kind of stuff. Some people, it's funny, I saw a cartoon a while ago, and isn't cartoons what got everybody in trouble, but I saw a cartoon a while ago talking about somebody lambasting all of this stuff about, oh, how the government taking away you're spying on me. You know information that no one should know. Meanwhile, you're putting all this stuff on Facebook. That was the next panel. It's like, oh, he's on Facebook, Twitter, here, there, and everywhere. Knows when my birthday is, knows my home address, knows that I'm on vacation somewhere. You know, it's like that's what you got to watch for, too. You hear about the Facebook criminals. You know, people will troll Facebook to see how many pictures you take from Cancun and know that your house is empty. Boy, I've become paranoid, haven't I? But anyway, I mean, the march in France, the unity march, people arm in arm walking down the street no sooner than 3 days, and the guys were still either fugitives or just being caught. I mean, it was still a dangerous time. I mean, obviously, there was heavy security, but heavy security isn't going to stop everything at times, you know? And they walk down the street. What did the U.S. do? I mean, really, what was the reasoning for this? If you don't want to send Obama, if he didn't want to go, I get it. Could be a security nightmare. The head of the free world doesn't need to be putting himself in the situation. But you send Joe Biden everywhere, and I don't think anybody's taking pot shots at Joe Biden. They're just waiting for him. They're hoping that he would be president. But anyway, I'm serious. Like John Kerry, he had business. You know where business is? Support the people who support you. Support the people who support you. You know, face up to it. You were a world leader and doing all this stuff. You're asking all these people. It's out of nothing. I mean, it's the right thing to do, but let's just say it's courtesy. Can you believe that? We got to call it courtesy. We'd be courteous to show up at this rally. Somebody from the United States other than the ambassador to France. Joe Blow, who I've had coffee at McDonald's with. I mean, it's a mistake, and it was a huge mistake that was made there. You know, you're fighting terrorism all over the world with the Army, Navy, and all the Marines, etc. How about you fight it, too? How about you get in the trenches? With the United States, the upper echelon, right? I'm for the people, by the people, I love the people. Well, this would have been a good shit time to show the people of an ally, no less, that were there for him. you know, people from out the world called us kind of thing. It's just one of those things. I don't get it. I really don't get it. I mean, how can you be so out of touch and so misguided? And I don't want anybody to paint me into Fox News, because I'm not right now. It's not Fox News. It's just the right thing to do. White House spokesperson said something also that maybe we should have done something a little bit more than sending the ambassador. You know that it's coming from above. Because there isn't a White House press secretary who doesn't cover, who won't tap dance and make up ridiculous stuff. Well, you know, Obama had high-level meetings, like Scatman Crothers. Get ready for the big one. Get ready. Get ready. Here it comes. Tap dancing everywhere. They didn't tap dance this time. They admitted their mistake. And if you're going to admit your mistake, then why did you make the mistake? What are you, seven? What are you, my son?
Hey, Bruce, it's easy to throw bricks through that window and these guys.
That's not easy. Yeah, well, you know what? It is easy because they make it easy. I got a couple mottos that I live my life by, and it's like, don't give anybody a reason. And the U.S. gave everybody a reason on this particular time. Phone number 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. This is Outside Looking In with Bruce Negrin. That's me. I guess I don't have to tell you that anymore. Let me know that you're out there listening if you want to talk about any topics ranging pretty much from everything to anything. I'm in. I will discuss them with you, and you can discuss them with me. One other thing, though. I mean, we're talking about the France situation, the French situation, and then what happened in the United States over Christmas with the interview. I'm sort of torn on this one, too. I was talking with my brother about it. You know, Seth Rogen and James Franco, two of the biggest goofballs, for lack of a better term, that you could find. You know, I mean, oh, acting is a craft, James Franco. I'm very ornery and sad and you know, get out of here. You ruined the Oscars. You ruined everything. But you're coming out here, you think you're a funny guy because you're with Seth Rogen on Freaks and Geeks. And Seth Rogen, my goodness, if there was ever reason to stop smoking marijuana, he is the reason. My man is an idiot. And I don't throw that word around loosely. You know, every interview, everything he does, oh, yeah, well, I got high today, and I'm getting high. You know, that can't be a life goal, getting high all the time.
Well, Bruce, it worked for him. He's very creative. He's making movies.
His movies suck. If you want the truth, his movies suck. People are like, oh, it's a real cult. Cult means, sometimes the word cult classic means that it sucked, and six people get it because they're as stoned as this guy. But anyway, with the interview, let's have a movie about with the plot of assassinating the leader of a country. Not a made-up leader, but a real leader, Kim Jong-un. Don't you think the guy's going to get upset? This is the thing. It's funny. I have a friend at work, a guy named Kevin Levitz. I used to call him Kim Jong-il. And for the simple fact of this, you play a joke on him, there is no appropriate response from him. It is all-out nuclear war. What I mean by this, you tape his phone down so it keeps ringing, and you can't pick it up, so it just keeps ringing, and there's no answer to it. Ha, 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 ha. So what does he do? He comes in and takes your whole office, dumps it upside down, and, like, fills it with 1,000 foam peanuts. Totally non-proportionate response. Non-proportionate. You do something else, you know, I don't know, you do something else to him, you know. He locks your bag in the closet. He takes the strap and takes a lock and locks your bag to the closet. So you're trying to catch the 559 home, and you're not going to make it because the son of a bitch locked your bag in the closet. That one was very funny, but not proportionally appropriate for whatever I had done. So guess what, though? I stopped doing it. It's like, I'm not going to get him involved because I just know he's over the top, and I'm done. So... but that's what I'm talking about with the movie here, the interview. Let's kill Kim Jong-un. Let's kill him. Ha, 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 ha. It'll be really, really funny. It'll be really, really funny. Ha, 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 ha. It's not funny. Oh, my God. It's the Run DMC song. It's not funny when it rains without an umbrella. You're an unhappy fella. Ha, ha. But anyway, what kind of response did you expect? North Korea lives on this kind of stuff. They thrive on it. They're the real deal. They are instable, unstable, extra stable, and horse stable. That's what they are. And what I mean is, it's like the 38th parallel. The war's been over for 50 years, but the war has never ended. The police action, excuse me. Tell that to my dad. Tell my dad who was over in Korea that it was a police action. So all those people were standing on the hill, one of these hills in the mountain or in South Korea, when the Chinese came over the wall, you know, came over the hill and pushed them, the million Chinese came and pushed them back. You tell them that it was a police action then. Obviously, that's getting righted or it's starting to get righted. But, I mean, they're crazy. They shoot over that wall. They're kidnapping people from Japan. North Korea is not to be messed with on a light scale. You better be prepared. Sony Pictures, you better be prepared. And Sony Pictures, you're going to the mat for Seth Rogen? Oh, Seth, this is a great idea. I mean, seriously, for the $12.50 you're going to spend for a movie ticket, they better give you a joint. These dumbasses getting us in trouble. I could say a couple of these words now that I'm on Blog Talk Radio. You won't hear much cursing here, but it's just absolutely ridiculous. In my opinion, it's just crazy. And everyone gets upset, you know, that the North Koreans came after Sony. And what did they do? They did I have to say, this might have been a proportionate response. Let's break into Sony's emails and get everybody all pissy at each other in Hollywood. Oh, he's tough to work with. She's a shrill. They did perfect. I stand corrected. Other than breaking in and hacking, it was an appropriate response. Isn't that ridiculous? But yeah, I mean, the next James Franco, Seth Rogen movie that I'm going to enjoy will be the first one. So you take that. I might be alienating half of my audience, but seriously. There might be a laugh or two, but 2 hours worth of it? Not happening. Not happening. My phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. I was experimenting on Facebook. I joined a couple new groups. Very intellectually stimulating groups. Very important groups. I joined the Goal Magazine group. Goal Magazine was a magazine published by the NHL in 1970, and this particular group just pays homage to 1970s NHL hockey players. Expanding my horizons, getting it done, Facebook, what would I do without it? I had one of these days the other day. I told you it was a slow start to this year, so I'm just getting frustrated. Had my phone out, my iPhone, I got my computer. My computer's working slow. Is there anything that will get you more annoyed or angry than a slow-moving computer? You know, I'm working on a VPN because I work at home. You know, McDonald's has free Wi-Fi. Hey, Ira, how you doing over there? Let me get that cup of coffee. What about that Bryce Harper? Let me tell you, he's a player. That Gio Gonzalez, that's my boy. Anthony Rendon, yes. But anyway, nothing gets you more annoyed than that. So it's a slow computer and Outlook's going in, going out. The VPN doesn't connect. You know, you got your iPhone here, and so what happens when your VPN doesn't connect and you can't get into your servers, you start surfing the internet. And I'm the worst internet surfer of all time. I haven't hung five on the internet ever. The three things I read, you know, sometimes I'll go to Facebook, not sometimes, I do. You know, when you have an ego, that's what you do. You go to Facebook. You post pictures. The best part about Facebook is that I've discovered the fourth person. No one appreciates this, but I do. I've discovered the fourth person because I will post something, I will write a comment about it, and then I will like it. So, yeah, hey, I'm waiting for you to like my stuff. Let's get the ball rolling here. I'm going to like it myself. You don't have to like it. I like it. That's why I wrote it. Facebook, you know, the people who get serious on Facebook, just take a walk. You got to be irreverent. I mean, there's got to be some kind of humor to it because no one really. I had a couple people that my thumb would hurt. My wife's uncle would write all this stuff. He's an NRA guy. He'd write all this stuff and on and on and on and on to the point where your thumb hurts because you keep sliding up. It's like once you learn that you can unfriend someone without them knowing or taking offense, bam, That was a liberating day. Now I got two friends. I got two different Facebook accounts on my own friend, and now I found the fifth person. I'm sorry, I make myself laugh sometimes. I really do. So you go on Facebook, and then I'll go on the New York Post. I'll read the New York Post. I'll read the New York Times and the Washington Post. And if it's really slow, my computer, I'll actually read the Daily News. The Daily News, they should just call that that newspaper Auto Trader, because that's all it has is car ads. Man, Freddie! I mean, they have so many car ads that they have the car dealers picking games in the back. It's just, I mean, that newspaper is thin. Thin. Told you about the Washington Post last week. You know, I got it, and, let me tell you. I guess the last show was December 31st, so what did I do? $399 I was paying for the Washington Post. I told you I was getting all fed up. Guess what I did? I called them up. This is why you got to pay attention to your bills. This is why everybody's trying to get over on you. And you got to pay attention to your bills, because all it takes is a phone call. And if they tell you no, then it's no. You do what you were going to do anyway. So I called them up and I said, I'm dropping your paper. They're like, whoa, we're very sorry to hear that. Why are you dropping all the paper? I said, are you in Washington? Hello? Hello? No, but I'm very tired. Please keep talking. So I said, okay, I'm dropping your paper because I'm dropping it. Said, oh, can you please give me a reason? All right, you got me. It's too expensive. I just can't spend the money for it anymore. It's just too expensive. $399, and sometimes I don't even get to it. Things happen. Life happens. Sometimes I don't get to read the paper. Here's another aside, because that's what this program's all about. Another aside, you people in New York who take the train, love the train, embrace the train, be the train. Because commuting by train, if you don't have like a long commute home, or if your office is near Grand Central, and I'm not talking about Penn Station. If you got a Penn Station commute, it sucks. There's nothing good about that. Nothing ever. But if you got a Grand Central commute, you can buy a beer. You can buy a tall boy, a big Budweiser. You can get a Foster's Oil Con. You can get it. And you can read the New York Times. You can read the New York Post. You can be informed. You have a certain block of time every day in the morning and the afternoon or at evening where you can come home and relax and read the newspaper before you have to get in your car and get stopped by unsynchronized traffic lights. It's a joy, because I'll tell you, otherwise you got to find time to read the newspaper. Now, I told you, working from home, I got the kids. Making them breakfast. I don't have any time in the morning. Well, you don't commute, but I got the kids. I got to get them out of the door. I got to do this. I got to do that. It's not that crazy. I love my kids. Don't get me wrong on this particular thing. But sometimes it's like, where's my time? Where did it go? Where did it go? So, I mean, you're trying to... So that's why I read the newspaper when the internet goes down or when the VPN goes down. Back and forth. Got to be informed, right? Otherwise, you can't really talk about anything. Got to have an idea of what's going on. And people say, I get my news from Twitter. I've tried Twitter. You know, I'm on Twitter. I got like three accounts, because I got one for the radio show at Bruce Negrin Radio. I got another for B Negrin 247, just because that was the first time I got on Twitter. And I don't even know if I have another or not. But, you know, Twitter, you got to be on it. This is the thing about the world today, is that you can't be a dinosaur anymore. You can't be your grandparents. 46 years old, going on 47. You know, I don't want to pretend like I'm hip. I'm not listening to Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus. But in certain times, you got to know what's going on, because the world is going that way. But it's also a mistake, because there's nothing in depth. My problem about the Washington Post, I guess I got to get back to that. So my problem with the Washington Post is that it's almost too in depth. You know, you get to the last, the 15th paragraph in the article, the 17th or 20th paragraph, and I'm like, this is the fifth expert confirming the point that they already wrote. There's no Rolling Stone journalism going on in the Washington Post right now. No made-up stories with made-up people and, you know, fabricated everything. Who knows? Maybe, and if they are fabricating, they're doing a damn good job of it, but I'm not saying that. But anyway, I called up the people, and I said, it's too expensive. They said, well, Mr. Negrin, we really value you, and we want you to get your coupons and the comics every day. So we will give you the newspaper for $98. What? What? Excuse me, can you tell me what you just said again?
Oh, we will get you the newspaper for $98.
What? Really?
Don't!
Exactly, Homer. Thank you. We're a little late on the draw there, Homer. Just trying to set up the whole thing. But $98. I went from $388 to $98. You know what I was able to do with that savings? I turned in like a first edition Nook back to Barnes & Noble, was able to get a Samsung tablet, and I was also able to get the, because I have the print edition, I get the online edition, and I was also able to buy the New York Post online. I got it all covered. I got tabloids. I got long papers that I can't fold. I got it all. I got a whole slew of stuff in front of my desk right now as well. I got articles all ripped out. I got stuff about Elizabeth Warren. I definitely want to get to this. And we will. But, yeah, so make sure you check your bills. I got something from Fios the other day. Now I got to go check with Fios. You know, I mean, I've enjoyed Fios. I've had it in New York and down here. So it's no big deal to me. I want to keep it. But we'll see what the story is there. You know, I mean, that same phone numbers. That's the problem, though, that with the cable. Make you change the phone numbers and all that kind of stuff. You think I got time for that? What was that lady? Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. 32 on Tuesday night, January 13th. This is Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Degren. My phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. If you're watching the Ranger game, turn down the sound. Joe Micheletti says nothing. He talks about nothing. And Sam Rosen hasn't been able to scream power play goal. You know, Phil Mushnick from the New York Post, I used to think he was crazy. But the guy's right. The older you get, the more you realize where he's coming from. You know, how do the Duke Blue Devils have black uniforms? Oh, because they got to get recruits. Stay true to who you are. Isn't that supposed to be the message from everybody now? You got to be real. You got to be you, though. Come on, kid. You got to be you. Got to be real. Keep it real. Keep it real. Keeping it real, Duke Blue Devils with black uniforms? St. John's Redmen with black uniforms? Seriously, it's like, stop selling out. Whatever happened to, that's going to get me in trouble, traditional values. Whatever happened to values of being who you are? Stay who you are. Harvard went to black uniforms. The Crimson. Went to black uniforms. You know, we have to attract a younger crowd, a younger demographic. We got to get the recruits. Just say who you mean, all right? Just say who you mean. But Mushnick also talks about announcers saying nothing. They got a guy down here who does the Washington Capitol games. I don't even know his name. But he makes it unlistenable on radio. Unlistenable. Because it's one guy in the booth, by the way. So you got to listen to him for an hour and a half. And then he comes around and is like, all of a sudden start screaming, and I don't want to even do it. But I get in my car, and I start screaming back at him, shut up, shut up. Oh, down the left wing. Oh, huge slap shot, Alex Ovechkin. Ah, sounds like something Sinbad fought in his travels. I'm going to get you, Sinbad. Alex Ovechkin, the Capitals lead. I'll tell you who missed his calling. Adam Sandler should have been a play-by-play announcer. He could have done like a four-guy booth. It would have been funny.
Oh, look at over here.
Do you remember when Bobby Boucher showed up at halftime and the Mud Dogs won the Bourbon Bowl?
One of my favorite lines, and I don't think anybody ever knows it. So I was also reading today about space privatization. Space. It was serious because what happened? Skylab there, the International Space Station, was running out of supplies. Because back in October, I forgot the other group who was supposed to be doing it, but there was a launch that was supposed to go on, and they were using like Russian rockets from 1950, and it blew up at Wallops Island. Blew up. But the thing about Wallops Island is that it's on the Virginia coast, so they said go out, and if people in North Potomac could go see the space launch. So I took out my kids. We went out there. I was with my wife. We're at the highest point in North Potomac. The first time that happens, they have to scrub the mission because there's a boat in the secure area. Wah, 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 wah. So we go back the next day. We're getting ready. And so I'm like, Right, my son wants to be an astronaut, so we take him out to this stuff. And I thought it would be cool to see a rocket ship. A rocket ship? A rocket ship? There'll be men on the moon someday, my friend. So we go out there, and what happens? Abort, abort, abort. The thing blows up on the launch pad. It gets like 100 feet in the air. Boom, done. Started catching on fire on the launch pad. I was disappointed, to be honest with you. I wanted to see it. Now I'm disappointed. They're not going to have another mission at Wallops Island for about a year and a half now. But anyway, SpaceX comes in, and they had to scrub a mission in December. So the International Space Station's going out with supplies. I was thinking about that. It's like $12 million worth of stuff was blown up. Now another $12 million worth of stuff is not making it. You know, get stuck in space with nothing to eat. I mean, it could happen. You never think of that kind of stuff. Oh, you know, space, who cares? There was a story I read about when they did the moon launch, and they went around the moon, and the guys were on the moon, and the other astronaut, and I'm sorry, the name escapes me now, but he had to go and slingshot behind the dark side of the moon. All radio communication was lost, everything. He was alone for about 25 minutes or so. I mean, nobody knew where he was. They couldn't talk to him. They had an idea. They could figure it out mathematically. But could you imagine that feeling? And then the darkness set in. You know, and that's what would just drive me nuts. Like, nothing happens out here. They'll never hear from me again. No last words, no anything. You know, no giant step for mankind, you know, or anything of that sort. Scary. But he made it back. But anyway, they're up there, and they got it back. They finally get the SpaceX got the mission done, and they were able to launch the rocket, deliver the supplies, and what they're trying to do now is re-land rockets. You know, if you ever saw a rocket, it's like the Blues Brothers movie, because once it takes off, all of that kind of stuff is destroyed. You ever see the Blues Brothers movie? They must have destroyed 1,000 cars in that particular thing. But Rangers down 2-0. So they're trying to keep the rocket together and the launchers together so they can land them. And they tried to do it on a barge, but they haven't done it yet. But they're going to be able to do it. You know, the government kick-started the programs, obviously, with NASA and all that. But now privatization is going to take it leaps and bounds ahead because people see a chance to make money on it, and they're going to do it. And so the investment is real. Everything is real. It's pretty incredible. I mean, space is going to happen again, and it's going to happen, I don't want to say soon, but it's going to happen soon enough. My son's always like, I want to go to Mars. I'm like, Ryan, I don't want you to go to Mars, man. 2 years you're going to be gone, and then maybe 2 years to come back. It's like, it's a little long for me. I don't need you in space that long. Come on, man, we got to watch the Giants. We got to watch some football, kiddo. Don't go up in space. Phone number is 773-897-6423. 773-897-6423. This is Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to Outside Looking In. The incomparable Etta James, I'd Rather Go Blind. That's one of those songs I could listen to over and over and over and over and over again. The one regret in my life is that I missed out on jazz and blues clubs. You know, when I was a kid, I just want to go to these places that have that little table with that little lamp on that little round table, the red lamp, and just listening to a fantastic blues singer or a jazz artist. Yeah, it's not like I'm a maven of the musics, but I definitely enjoy them. And when it's done right, boy, is it done right. But anyway, so what's going on in Washington, D.C.? We got snow. So snow removal comes around. Snow removal in D.C. is an adventure, to say the least, and in Maryland. What the problem is, outside of like New York, what always happens in these places a little bit further south, it's not so much snow, it's the ice. It's the freezing rain. It's all of this kind of stuff. And you know what? I don't care what anybody says. People are like, oh, you're from the north, Bruce. You should be able to handle this. Hey, you know what? 15 degrees is cold no matter where I go. When I was in New York, it was cold. When I'm down here, it's cold. Black ice is black ice. You got to spin out. You got to be dangerous. Came home from a hockey game the other night, and the rain started coming down. And, you know, the National Weather Service will scare you to death down here. It's like, watch out for everything. So, you know, I don't want to be the tough guy. It's late enough at night, I can drive 25, 30 home, and no one's going to be upset with me or honking their horns. So I did it. And, you know, I'd rather be home safe than sorry for sure. You know, that's the story. We understand we got some callers, so let's get to it. Caller, welcome to Outside Looking In with Bruce Negrin. You're on the
What's
air.
What's up, Bruce? Miss Matt. Love your show there.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing good. Hey, kind of an interesting comment you made. Talking about the space travel and all that. I'm going to bring up some topics here. Let's see where that takes us, all right?
Sounds good.
So a couple weeks ago during the holiday season, my son happens to work for a large contractor that actually helps build the Orion spaceship. And they had a very successful launch, as you know. You know, it's a little while ago that they went up in deep space, did the thing, brought it back. Everything was cool. So I encouraged my son to meet up at the local high school and meet with all the kids there and give a little speech about, you know, spacecraft, spaceships, space travel, to try to inspire them to learn more and to be more involved in the old space travel industry. Because as you mentioned, and great point you made about privatization, right? Now's the opportunity for young kids these days to get deeply involved in this, because come next, you know, decade or so, we're going to be traveling to Mars, right? And I was amazed. I was just flabbergasted by the lack of enthusiasm that the kids were demonstrating while my son was in there. I happened to go in there and observe him at the same time. And I was just amazed how the lack of enthusiasm these children showed towards what was being presented. Because back in the late 60s, when we were going to the moon, man, I was sitting there at my TV, and I'm watching this thing, and I'm saying, just like your son, Bruce, I want to go to the Mars. I want to go to moon. So when you mentioned that you don't want your son to go to the moon or to the Mars or wherever, I'd encourage him. I'd encourage him to stay active, because that's an opportunity for him in the future.
No, I totally agree. When I say that, this is all out of selfishness, because it's like 2 years away. That's it's only the travel time, but he has a real interest. How old were the kids your son was talking to?
They were high school students.
I'll tell you, Matt, there's so many distractions and so many things that take people's eye off the ball of what is exciting and what is important. That it's amazing. I mean, I'm surprised that life goes on sometimes, because you're right. I mean, one of the things though about space is that it's a lot. You have to be, you know, a smart person to figure it all out. So I don't know. I don't know why there's a lack of enthusiasm for that. But it's just, I guess it also comes down to the point where, you know, outside of the space shuttle, when things become routine, the space shuttle became routine. And once that happened, you know, it's like, oh, space, what are we discovering? What's new? We're not going anywhere. But I hear what you're saying. You know, we're very close, very, very close.
Yeah, I mean, there's the opportunity for kids these days to get involved in this, because you think about back in the late 60s, you know, early 60s when we had the whole Apollo space mission. And, you know, the lack of technology that we had at that point in time, and we were able to put a man on the moon, right? And think about where we are today in technology and the advancements we've had in technology that that kids these days, if they just grasp onto it and just see the possibility, it's amazing. It's endless. It's something that can define this era for this generation of being a part of something that's bigger than they are on this planet.
Oh, I wonder if they think it's a little bit too far for them, you know, or too far away, or too further down the road for a high school student, you know, for an elementary school or middle school, you know, that might be a more enthusiasm because it's in their realm. But these guys are like, oh, I just want to go to college. I don't know what it is. I really don't.
Yeah, I'm starting to read a book that a friend of mine gave me over the weekend, and sitting out at my breakfast table in the morning and having some cereal. And it's called Absolute Relativism. And it's an amazing little book. It's only about 50 pages long, but I'm getting into it now. And it really speaks to, I think, what's happening overall in our culture in America. How our things are, there seems to be no so moral and ethical compass that's driving our kids these days to be, to follow a certain, moral and ethical way of life. It seems like what's happening now is there's so much that's the politically correct way of doing things these days, and everything's got to be, you know, if you're not tolerant, you're intolerant. And a lot of this stuff that we're talking about here that you reference in your talk here speaks to me a lot about that whole relativeness of everything that's happening in America now. And you can't speak up. You can't say anything because you're afraid you're going to offend somebody.
I understand. I've hit a situation where I've offended somebody by trying not to offend them because it wasn't even Thanksgiving yet, but someone had a holiday party. So it's a holiday party to me because it's not even Thanksgiving yet. So I said, oh, happy holidays. And the person right away turns to me and goes, Merry Christmas, you mean? It's like, I'm Catholic. I get it. You know, I want to put the Christmas in Christmas, the Christ in Christmas as well. But it's not even Christmas. It's not even it's not even Thanksgiving. Please, it's holidays. they took offense to me saying something like that. I was like, wow, it's getting a little bit out of control for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is, but I think the first step is just knowing it and acknowledging it, and being educated enough to be able to speak, you know, the folks that basically are totally intolerant, right? Because when you're intolerant, you've already got prejudices towards your likes and dislikes. I mean, that's the nature of being intolerant. Your definition is I either like stuff or I don't like stuff. So therefore, I'm going to be intolerant to everything else that you say. And when you're not educated enough to know the difference between those things, I think you find yourself in a situation where when you try to defend yourself or to defend your position on something, you're not in any educated manner to be able to do such a thing.
So. Yep, I hear what you're saying. I hear it very well. Well, thank you, Matt. Thanks for the phone call.
Okay, Bruce. Take care. See you on the ice.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Hey, dude.
All right, phone number is 773-897-6423. Again, that's 773-897-6423. Covered a lot of topics on that last phone call, you know, from spaceflight. It's very interesting. I'll tell you, though, my problem with spaceflight is that I believe I'm an educated man, but, boy, there are times when engineering and mathematics is where I'm amazed by, like, just Galileo, from people in the years and years in the Renaissance and the Reformation and all this kind of stuff, where they could go out and judge and see, you know, even Newton, just to go out there and see and figure out the speed and the depth and the stars. I can't do that. I bought a book for my son, Ryan. He seems to be a big topic today, and so is space. But bought a book for Ryan. It had Angry Birds in it, right? So we're like about it was a National Geographic talking about space. And so we're reading about a black hole. You know, in the concept, I get it. I've played with tons of black holes. I give them the puck or I give them the basketball. They never give it back. It's a black hole. That is the ultimate definition of it. No, but what I really mean is, like, it's just mind-boggling. It really is. To me, I have an interest. But once you get into some of this mathematics, that's where I lose out because I'm a much more literal person. So that's where I get caught. But my son, Ryan, if he wants to do it, I mean, we're pushing him on the math. He's already got his career plan set out. I took him to a Navy football game, so now he wants to go to Annapolis. I said, well, that's great, you know, because then I want to be a Navy pilot, and then I want to be an astronaut. I'm like, bam. You know what? You go to Annapolis, you get a car. The government's going to pay for your education. But it's true, though. I want him to go to the Navy. I want him to go to Annapolis. I don't want him to go anywhere else at the moment. The way the world is going, you know, it seems, you know, not that the Navy is easy by any means. By any means, none of the military services are easy. But right now, the Navy, I'd rather be on a ship than, you know, in Camp Restrepo out in Afghanistan for sure. So it was an interesting week. I want to talk about Elizabeth Warren for a second. Who is Elizabeth Warren? Senior Senator from Massachusetts. She's the dark horse. She's the anti-Hillary. The anti, you know, she's the true liberal. You know, she's the voice that people want to recruit because she's an outsider. She says stuff differently. So there was an article in the New York, in the Washington Post this past Sunday. It goes, early enthusiasm for Elizabeth Warren. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to finally sit down and read an article about her. What is she talking about? Who is she? Why is she? And I'm not really, you know, I don't lean on the liberal side by any means. I definitely lean to the right. But what's an interesting point is there's a point called the New York Republican. A New York Republican is someone who sees social issues a little bit differently. It's not born and bred. It's not true right wing by any means. You know, fiscally responsible is definitely what we're looking at. But being a New York Republican, you know, growing up there, I just have a different, you know, the caller talked about moral compass or so. My I don't want to say I'm off in my moral compass, but they're just different exposures. So I have a different view on things. Although I'm a Republican doesn't mean, you know, I'm far right wing or Tea Party today, anything of that effect. But anyway, so I want to find out what she's talking about. And I found out this article. I'm start going on, and, you know, it's an opinion piece or as well. The Sunday Take by Dan Balls. He goes on, a dozen Denver area residents spent 2 hours dissecting the state of the country and its politics. The 12 participants, Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, are all weary of political dynasties. They were dismissive, sometimes harshly, in their assessments of Jeb Bush, the former Florida governor, and they were also chilly towards former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. So they got 12 people in a room, and this is an article for this Washington Post. That's the greatest part, because they asked Bush, reactions to Jeb Bush were viscerally negative. When participants were asked for short impressions of him, the responses included the following: joke, no thank you, clown, don't need him, greedy, again. One said intriguing, and another said interesting. And that's as close as anyone came to outright enthusiasm for Bush. You know what? For what I said about Elizabeth Warren, I'm going to say about Jeb Bush as well. Governor of Florida, I know who he is. I know some of his stances. But really, I mean, you talk about people labeling people, you know, the Bush name. Does anybody really want dynasties, political dynasties in the United States? No, but we were willing to elect every Kennedy possible, correct? And for what reason? For hope? See what hope's getting us now, right? But anyway, so they're asking all these. I mean, some of these words that came out of these 12 people's mouths sort of bothered me. Would you want Jeb Bush as a neighbor? No, I don't need him. Calling him a joke? I don't understand that part. You know, these are words. Are they talking about George W. Bush? Are they associating? Are they doing word association? Or do they not even know who this guy is? Do they think George is running again? Again, however you feel about him, we know the criticisms for George W. Bush. And I have a few myself. Hell of a job, Brownie. But anyway, you know, those words were just ridiculous. So the moderator of the group asks which individual from a long list of current politicians they would like to have as a next door neighbor. Eight named Bush. I'm tired of it, said Brandon Graham. I'm tired of it. He's running off the Bush name and he thinks that means something. The Bush name? I mean, really, does the Bush name carry any weight? That solidified the argument of my point that this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But they put in Elizabeth Warren. The quick impressions voiced about her were highly positive, passionate, smart, sincere, knowledgeable, intelligent, capable, and said questionable. And that was as close to the negative as she got in that round. You know, what is she about? What is she about? I heard she's not running for president. She flat out said it today. I saw a couple of articles because I was trying to get more information on her. But, I mean, obviously a liberal. Obviously trying to be anti-establishment. Fighting in her own party as well. Because she's nixed one of Obama's treasury secretaries or somebody, an undersecretary. So there's a problem there as well. But it's just, I mean, people are so ready for the next thing. Look what the next thing got you. The next thing. You can't elect a person because they gave a good speech, a keynote speech 4 years ago. Yeah, it's just, you can't elect an orator anymore. They got to have some substance, some gravitas. They got to have something behind them. What's happened in America right now is the election. People are down and dirty. They say, oh, I'm tired of all of this stuff. But let me tell you, politicians love the chase of being elected. They love it. They love the whole process. You get out there, you feel like the man for a while. And let me tell you, I'm speaking from experience. When I ran for city council in New Rochelle, it was invigorating. There was a lot of hard work. Don't get me wrong. Because in a city council race, you got to go door to door to door to door. It gets tough. It gets tiring in July, whatever. You get beat down. You know, it's like you go to somebody's door. You're half sweaty. You got a tie on. Your shirt's sweat. You look like an idiot. You look like a guy from, just came out of Giant stocking shelves because you're sweating that much. But you go out there and you enjoy it because you get to do the debates. You get to talk about the issues. You get to talk about certain things. Your voice is being heard. People are paying attention to you. You know, the game of the election, there's a movie out there. It's called The Candidate with Robert Redford, where at the end, he gets elected. And he goes, well, what do I do now? Exactly. What do I do now? You know, there was, another article in the Washington Post. I'm going to have that slip a lot, so please forgive me. But a theme for Bowser, Muriel Bowser, in week one, the new mayor of D.C., is expect the unexpected. And that's what it's about. She's out there about to give a speech about homelessness or snow removal or something to that effect. What happens? There's a shooting down the block. She's got to hand it over to the police chief, and they got to talk about that. You know, she in her quotes, in her speech, had mentioned something about this. I ran for mayor not for kicks or to see my name in lights, but because I understand the great responsibility of leading this city, Washington, D.C., at this time. A time both rich with prosperity and rife with inequality. It's easy to get elected. That's the fun part. To govern is the tough part. That's why all these people who you're talking about, like a Chris Christie or somebody like that, and again, I'm not throwing my hat in the ring for him. I got to hear what he has to say a little bit more. I got to hear what a lot of these people have to say some more. But what they do, the people who can't get elected are probably going to be the best politicians on the backside. They're going to be the people who can get it done because they're not into the glad handing. They're not into the lights and the hoopla. And to run for office, it sucks to govern. It's that simple. I mean, look at our president. He saw a window of opportunity. Our president, Barack Obama, that guy saw a window of opportunity that he knew would shut on him if he didn't jump at it. He wasn't ready. There has to be some kind of experience. You know, just coming out of the Senate is not experience enough anymore. You know, that's why there's so many more governors who have been elected president than senators. You got to be the head guy. You got to understand. You got to be the man or the woman, but you got to be the head of something. You got to understand how it works. You got to work against the Congress, against the state representatives, against anybody. You know, Elizabeth Warren, you think Congress is shutting down for Obama? She gets elected? Forget about it. There has to be a sweeping tide of liberalism for it to work for her. And that's not going to come. That's not going to come. At least not in the next 3 years, 4 years. You know, it's, the Republicans got to, the onus is on them right now, especially in Congress. The onus is on the Republicans to govern and get something done, because there hasn't been anything done. I mean, that's a fact. That is an absolute fact. The slowest Congress, the least amount of legislation passed in 100 years, or if not more. But Muriel Bowser did say something that if you're from New Rochelle and or anywhere around the area, she said something about D.C. that needs to be done everywhere. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Yeah. You're synchronized the traffic lights. I don't know who these traffic engineers are, but in my old hometown of New Rochelle, woof. Synchronize the traffic lights. But Muriel Bowser, the mayor of Washington, D.C., said that she put that in her inaugural speech, saying that that is one of my priorities to get to for snow removal, you know, the mundane snow removal, making sure the contracts are set, et cetera, and so forth, the police are taken care of, et cetera, and synchronizing traffic lights. I got laughed at in New Rochelle when I used to say that. Laughed at. But I was serious. And you got all these people going green, especially in Montgomery County, right? Let's get to Montgomery County. I've had enough people on the line that I'm sure are listening. I want to hear about Montgomery County and hear some things. A couple things around here is like what I don't understand about this county. First of all, the county might be too big to govern itself. Some smaller towns might need to go out and govern themselves and start to be cities or towns and have their own government. Problem with that is that it adds an extra layer. And extra taxes, etc. When I was in New York, I paid city taxes, school taxes, county taxes, and state taxes. Here, I pay county tax, which has the school district in it. That's why I have 3 years to complain before I start saying something about taxes, about living down here. I see them creeping up because they'll nickel and dime you in Montgomery County. Boy, after a year and 8 months, I understand where the nickel and diming comes from. I mean, plastic bag tax. I get it. You know, sometimes you got to do something that's... But, okay, let's go back to what I was talking about on December 31st. I don't know if you were listening or not, but you should have been. You should have been, because this is where the things get answered. This is where the issues are raised and answered, outside looking in with Bruce Negrin. But anyway, we're talking about conditioning. We're talking about Rudy Giuliani and the city in 1990. New York had 2,223 murders. They had under 380 this year. That comes from policing. That comes from a certain way of policing, broken windows theory. We can talk about that ad infinitum. You know I love talking about that. But we're talking about Rudy Giuliani also, about conditioning people, how it has to be done. Michael Bloomberg conditioning people with calorie counts. Giuliani putting the boxes around the subway so people will step aside. Step aside. Did you believe people have to be conditioned to that? But that's what happens in Montgomery County as well. You want to do recycling. You want to get rid of the plastic bags, which is obviously everyone says they want to, but it takes a harsh reality. You got to pay 5 cents for it. This is conditioning people. That's exactly what Martin O'Malley did. That's exactly what the county did. It is conditioning people to bring their own bags to the store. So government does have a role in terms of getting things moving forward. You know, they also got an ambulance tax, which I didn't realize. This is one of the great things I found out, too, because Ike Leggett was talking about, well, we put this in, and it brings in the county about $16 million since it first started. But the people who ride the ambulance or you don't pay for it. The health insurance companies do. It all comes back to my wallet somehow, some way. Are you kidding me? I don't pay for it? We all pay for it. We're all paying for it some way, somehow. But you could, as a politician, that's a politician thing to do. It's three-card money. Slide something over here to pay something over here. Don't tell me I'm not paying for it. The health insurance companies, the insurance companies are paying for it. Well, why are my premiums so damn high? You know, I'd love someone to challenge him on that. Don't tell me I'm not paying for it. Don't patronize me. Don't make me an idiot. Seriously, and that's the way you feel sometimes when you listen to these politicians talk. You feel like an idiot because it's like you really would like to say something. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have time for you.
Mongo only pawn in game of life.
It's just, I mean, it's like, come on. Come on. But, I mean, the county is big, but the county nickels and dimes you on these speed traps. Now they got a van that they park on Quince Orchard Road outside my home. And so we're on a speed corridor. And this particular one is trying to catch you. I'm conflicted by it because it's on my block, so I should feel good that people are slowing down, obeying the speed limit. But I don't feel good because I know it's not for people obeying the speed limit. It's for catching them and getting the revenue. Ike Leggett talks about creating a nightlife committee in Montgomery County. How can we get the millennials to stay here? They all go down to D.C. or Baltimore. How can we get millennials to stay here? Nightlife. I mean, what is nightlife? Nightlife consists of alcohol, a place of gathering. Unfortunately, alcohol and gathering are synonymous. If you want to keep people lingering, if you want to keep people somewhere, you could go to a movies. Movie has changeover. Every 2 hours, somebody different. Maybe you get a meal out of them, but no one's spending an evening. Like, if you imagine this, the other night we had to go to the movies. We went up to Germantown. We stopped at the Green Turtle. You know, we were there for 22 minutes to get something to eat, in and out to the movies, home. And that's not a knock on Germantown. I'm just saying the way it is. It's like movies are not an evening out or a lasting evening out. It's fun. It's enjoyable. I love it. But it's not a lasting evening out. You're not getting people out from 8 to 10. You're not getting people to hang out after dinner. Spend more money, consistent money. But the problem with that, you want to create a nightlife committee, and I said it's tied into alcohol, then you got to get rid of Montgomery County handling all the alcohol. That's counterproductive to nightlife. That's counterproductive to business. It's government control of a business. Meanwhile, any of these distributors will keep these businesses in better shape. You can't go to a place and say, I want Jack Daniels. I'm sorry, we don't have it. Montgomery County didn't deliver today. I'd like a Budweiser. I'm sorry, Montgomery County didn't deliver today. And that doesn't happen. Privatization in certain of these aspects, especially alcohol sales, that has to change. Because the simple fact, too, you got people in these stores. And I was talking to somebody about it, and I had different points, but they're telling me that people were actually drinking in some of these stores. You know, it's all hearsay. I'm not going to substantiate these. I can't substantiate these claims. But, you know, you hear it around the campfire, so to say. But what happens here is just – but I look at it just an economics way. Yes, you got people jobs, but you're also, you know, civil service. Civil service has pensions, unions, the whole nine, right? So it's much more than just face value of what you're paying somebody. There's more benefits, more everything. So these stores can't be that profitable. And, of course, they're going to be somewhat profitable because you have the monopoly on it. Someone has to buy alcohol. But you got a dilapidated fleet delivering stuff. Can't get out there. And then you're talking about creating a nightlife committee. What could you do for a nightlife committee? What is nightlife? More music? Okay. Most people, when they go out for music, they like a drink as well. You know, it's all tied in. It's all tied into the spirits industry. And Montgomery has their hands in there, so there goes your nightlife committee. Another thing I don't understand is what's going on in this county, too, about panhandling. It's starting to become a real problem. Every time there's a median, and there are a million medians in Montgomery County, there's a panhandler on there. You go up to Germantown by that FedEx, right where it runs into Middlebrook, forget about it. It's like New York City in 1977. Now you come up to Quince Orchard, too, also here. Quince Orchard and 28. When you're going towards the Rio, and I don't know if it's east or west. Jeez. I'm going to live down here my whole life and not know where anything is. I'll know where everything is. I just won't be able to explain it to anybody. But you go back this way, that way. I mean, they got people panhandling with signs. And I got some guy the other day. Sometimes it's nerve also. If you're going to be a panhandler, play the part. There's a guy in the summer with long blonde hair and shorts, and he's got Nike sneakers on, and he's on his cell phone asking for money. He's on his cell phone walking up and down, need to eat or something, with this cardboard box, and he's on his cell phone. Who the hell are you talking to? And why are they not helping you out? Another guy who's bumming for change has a cell phone. Who are you talking to? I mean, play the part, man. Throw some dirt on your face. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true, right? I don't get it. Window goes up when that happens. I give to my local charities, and that's how I'm giving from now on, because you could get nickeled and dimed by all of this kind of stuff, too. And this isn't being a hard ass. This is not being a tough guy. No, I don't give to anybody. I will give to anybody and everybody, but I've seen it enough, in New York City especially, because this one guy, another one who wasn't smart enough. He was on the train one night saying, oh, they're going to turn off my heat and all my bills, and I'm a veteran, etc. They're going to turn off my heat. I got nothing to do, and I need money tonight. I need it tonight. You know, and he was emphasizing tonight. So I get on the same train the same time the next day, the number 6 going uptown to Grand Central, and the guy's on the train again giving the same speech. Hey, dummy. Hello, dummy. Don't you think the same people are going to be on that train? Or some of the same people? Your story is out. I'm never giving you anything. My other favorite one on panhandling is these guys, at least they got something to try to sell you. But how many times in New York City am I going to subsidize someone's basketball team's uniforms? Every day, basketball team uniforms. Can you buy some chocolate for basketball team uniforms? It's not even basketball season. Get out of here. I'm tired of you. So I had an experience the other day, too. Went up to the Lake Forest Mall. It's just funny people down here. I don't know if it's because I come from New York and I think I'm a tough guy. But I don't get it, because everyone's like, oh, stay away from Lake Forest Mall. You get killed if you even look at it. You know, I mean, obviously, things you got to be careful about, and I don't want to be ignorant and pretend like nothing's going on. But, boy, I went up there the other day to Lord and Taylor's. I was playing in a locker room after a hockey game. And went up there, and I went to Lord and Taylor's, as I just said. My dad got me something. I was returning it. And I've never seen the worst Lord and Taylor's in my life. The store was like 20 by 40. And in Lord and Taylor's, they're asking you for like $50, $60, $70 shirts. And guess how they had them displayed? Out in cardboard boxes. And this wasn't like a rush. This isn't, Saks off the rack or Nordstrom's off the rack or whatever, Century 21. It's Lord and Taylor's. You know, when Sears is the best store in a mall, is the classiest store in a mall, then you got trouble. You got trouble. That's what I'm telling you. Phone number is 773-897-6423. 773-897-6423. This is Bruce Negrin. I'm here every Tuesday night between 8 and 9 p.m. We're going to talk about the issues that come from Montgomery County. We're going to talk about the issues that emanate from Washington, D.C. We're going to talk about the issues that emanate from everywhere. Right now, I do want to mention one thing. I got a friend down here, which is really funny. Anybody from New Rochelle listening, you'll appreciate this. I got a friend who I met at a party one time, and I started talking about New Rochelle. He says, where are you from, New Rochelle? And he goes, oh, I did some development in New Rochelle. And so I started going on and on and on. He asked me, were you on the city council? I'm like, no, I wasn't. But I did run for it, so I had an idea what was going on there. And he's like, boy, you know everything about New Rochelle. So we struck up a friendship. We started talking. We struck up a friendship. And he asked me the other day about Yonkers. So all you people about in New Rochelle, check this out. New Rochelle likes to compare itself to White Plains. I've fallen into that myself as well. It's like, oh, we should be like White Plains. White Plains like this, White Plains like that. What the comparisons are New Rochelle to Yonkers. Take that, Noam Bramson. To Yonkers. Yonkers, New York. I don't know if you're ever traveling through there and you're on the Hutch or the Cross County. God bless you. Good for you. Keep going. Because downtown Yonkers, New York is the scariest place I've ever been to in my life. And I've been to a couple. I've been to South Central. I've been to Compton. I've been to North Philly. Been to some of the areas in Baltimore where they filmed The Wire. Used to work in rap music, so these were my territories. But anyway, Yonkers, I mean, crazy stuff happens in Yonkers, New York. And they're comparing that to New Rochelle. And it's funny. It's like in New Rochelle, you can, you know, isolate 3 or 4 blocks where you know to stay away from. And what did Jim Stowe say? The Winthrop, right? Anytime there's a murder or a drug arrest or something like that, it's right by Lincoln Projects, right by Winthrop, right over there. You know, it's so easy, and they refuse to police the area. It's just so easy. You know where it's going to be. And New Rochelle refuses to police the area because you know what? They might arrest somebody. They might have to do their job. Might have to keep the city safe. But anyway, Noam Bramson wants to wax poetic about New Rochelle on and on and on and on and on. It's getting compared to Yonkers. Yonkers is where I saw a midget wearing, like, driving a mini bike. It's where I saw guys with glass frames, with glasses on, with no glasses in them. A good 1980s b-boy look. It's where I saw a guy actually, legitimately, and forgive me for saying this, pissing into the wind. He had his pants down around his ankles, walking into the wind, relieving himself, and it all splattering on him. I mean, anything and everything you thought you could see or didn't really believe that you could see, it's in Yonkers. I was in there one night. I went to a party at some friend's house that we met years ago. I'm on Walburton Avenue. It's about 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm with a guy named John Downs. We're driving home. There is a touch football game going on in the street with 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, up to 15-year-olds at 3 a.m. in the morning. What does that tell you? But anyway, he wants to develop and, you know, he wants to buy a building in Yonkers. You know, they have the waterfront. Of course, you know, people, once you put water somewhere, it doesn't matter. Just look at the Gowanus Canal in New York. People will buy there. They love it. You know, you say water, people want it. But it's like Atlantic City to me, Yonkers. New Rochelle is much more suburban than Yonkers ever will be. I mean, Yonkers is, what, the fifth largest city in New York? Fourth largest? I mean, it's big. It's mean. And it's real. But so I wrote him. I said, I don't know about Yonkers, man. I'm going to tell you how I feel about it, but do what you got to do. I understand you're there. But he writes back. He goes, you know, I'm getting good rents in this building. People will give me good rents in this building. You know, it looks like a good deal, and there's a nice restaurant, XO, right on the water and the pier. We're by the railroad station. You know, and my dad said something about it being like Atlantic City. Yeah, if you want to stay on that boardwalk, that's fine. If you don't want to venture out, that's fine. If you want to be protected and live a protected life by a doorman and an off-duty security, that's fine. But then my brother wrote to me. He goes, Bruce, you know, I agree with your opinion, but you might be too close to it. You know the real deal. He doesn't. They don't. And it's true. Manhattan and some of these cities are getting so expensive that people are moving into these areas that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you wouldn't even think about. You know, I wrote back this guy, or I'm going to write him back, and I'm going to tell him, you're right. Do it. If you think it's right, I mean, he's got a lot more knowledge about real estate than I do. I'm going to tell him I'm too close to the situation. Because there are people living in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Brownsville, the home of Mike Tyson. You ever see the movie Do the Right Thing? That's where that was filmed. Brownsville. You know, so it's people live in there because it's getting too expensive. I mean, the have and have nots. Talk about it. It's not a race issue. It's a real have and have not issue. It's white, black, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. Asian, it doesn't matter. They're haves and have not. It's not a cultural thing. It's not a racial thing. It really is just a money thing. And it's crazy. It's really crazy. But yeah, so New Rochelle, you're getting compared to Yonkers. That's what's happening outside of what you think. When you think New Rochelle is wonderful and fabulous, you're getting compared to Yonkers. You know, I grew up in New Rochelle. I loved it there. I had a good time. I mean, I didn't move because of New Rochelle. I moved because of New York. Sometimes I got more for my money down here. I got just as good as schools, if not better. You know, I talked to Ryan. He went to Webster School. It was a beautiful school, 1929, Tudor building. Loved it. The aesthetics were fantastic, and the teaching was good. I didn't have any problems with it, except they had a courtyard that they locked in. You know, the fencing, the iron fences and stuff like that. They locked it in. On weekends, you couldn't go there to play basketball. You know, and that's the other thing in New Rochelle. They lock every field possible. Down here, there's too many fields. I don't ever really want to say that, but my sons and I go out to play baseball or whatever. We'll find a place to do it. It's not a big deal anymore. Which is great. I mean, we can hit a baseball. We can hit it. We don't have to, like, pretend and play pepper, like we're the Gas House Gang or something. But anyway, with the point being, What is the point? You've been listening? You've been listening to me? The point being about this school, I tell my son, it's like, did you ever think you'd go to a school that had grass as far as the eye could see? Deer leaping about, leaping in bounds around the yard before you go out for lunch? I didn't. But I enjoy it down here. Good bunch of people in North Potomac. I was lucky enough to fall into a really good bunch of people with the hockey team I play for, the Badgers. Next week, we're going to talk about trades. I've been talking to a couple teams. We got some trades worked out. And it's not for people to come back. We're just going to get rid of some people for a case of beer. Would you believe that trade would probably go through? People would be very happy. Maybe two cases. But it's a beer league. The whole thing about the beer leagues that I play in, people actually play and then they drink beer. No one's drinking beer on the ice, or no one's like throwing a game just to drink beer. So I enjoy it very much. Good bunch of guys, and they made me feel welcome, so I appreciate it. And, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's about community. And it's a little bit more difficult down here because it's a county and not a city. When I was in New Rochelle in the Larchmont area, I had friends left and right. I couldn't walk on the street without having to say hello to somebody, which was great. Down here, a little bit different. Things are more spread out. Phone number is 773-897-6423. It's 773-897-6423. We've got about 7 minutes left in the program, so I'm going to wrap it up talking a little bit of football. And I think next week we're just going to go back to an hour. We'll do an hour a week on every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. I'm extending it now because we're just getting our feet underneath us and trying to see how it goes and the topics and see how long we could speak for. But I'm going to cover every topic I ever had. I might have one or two that I didn't get to, but we'll get to them next week. But anyway, how about that football game last night, huh? You know, it just goes to show that power beats gimmicks. Football is a different sport. And I had a friend, a guy, Brian Stadnick, that I knew from New Rochelle, the biggest Ohio State fan I've ever seen. Always disappointed. You know, he's Ohio State, Cleveland Browns, Cleveland this, Cleveland that. You know, he's just from outside the area of Cleveland. So, I mean, that's his squads. Those are his squads. But last night he gets Ohio State. So now he's all pumped up and he wins the game and they win it handily. I didn't even watch. You know, I don't care. What do I care about Ohio State? You lost to Virginia Tech. There's no way you could be national champion. Anyway, they beat the Oregon Ducks. And, you know, the Oregon Ducks, the greatest things in sliced bread, the greatest show on turf, etc. They got walloped. But so this guy, Brian Stadnick, comes out and says his comments are, take that, SEC. And I went to an SEC school. I went to Vanderbilt, the number one football school in the SEC, by the way. An up-and-coming power, go black and gold. Damn right I'm a Commodore. But he writes, take that, SEC. Meanwhile, better back off there, young man, because your coach, Urban Meyer, made his bones in the SEC. That's why they won, because he knew how strong a team has to be. Every time an SEC team came out of the SEC to play somebody else, it was always a blowout. And he did exactly that to the Oregon Ducks because he understood the strength, the size, the speed, et cetera, how they play football in the SEC. And that's how it's played. Don't give me this Big Ten nonsense. And it is nonsense, I'll tell you. I'll tell you. Sort of glad I missed the Ranger game. I told you I got it on 3-0 right now with like 5 minutes left. The streak comes to an end. The high-flyingness, the Islanders, man. Can't happen to the Islanders. Sort of bothers me a little bit. But that's that. So we're going to wrap up the show about 9:25. So remember, next Tuesday we'll be here again from 8 to 9 p.m. talking about your issues. And we welcome phone callers all the time. You have a chance, write this number down. It's 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. This is The Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Degger, and I'm going to be here every Tuesday, as I mentioned. And I want to tell you one thing before I get out of here. It's how we're going to live our lives from now on. We had a motto in the old show, the New Rochelle News and Views show, step up to the mic because no one's going to say it for you. Since we're not as political as we used to be, here's the motto of today's show, and this is how we're going to close the show. Do something today that makes you better tomorrow. I appreciate you listening. Again, this is Outside Looking In with Bruce Negrin, and I'll catch you next week.
coming back home. We're talking about our three kids and a lovely wife, working in the Commerce Bank for the rest of his life.
What? we've got here is failure to communicate.